Hi, I'm Susie Larson. Here's the podcast from Susie Larson Live. Enjoy the conversation. It's only just a matter of.
Welcome into Susie Larson Live, everybody. I'm Than Bennett, sitting in for Susie today. I'm so glad to be with you. So glad that you have joined us. You know, I always look forward to being on with Susie and to chatting with her and getting to catch up. But I also look forward to these opportunities to spend time with you when she is away, when she's out of the studio. You know, like Susie, she reminds us of this every day. But I love the chance to have conversations with you that inspire us in our faith walk, that deepen our understanding of God's word, and that heighten our awareness of his very real presence in our life. And we've got exactly that kind of conversation on tap for you today. You know, I have been, I honestly have been looking forward to this conversation ever since it got put on the calendar. And the reason for that is, and I've shared this with you before on Susie's broadcast, but the issue of adoption is very, very near to my heart. It's dear to the heart of my wife, Brooke, as well. And we have been foster parents to 9 newborns over the last 2.5 years, and another one probably soon on the way. But we're on our own adoption journey as well as we speak, and we're also in the process of launching an effort to actually fund families who want to adopt from foster care. So we're just dreaming of this day where there is no such thing in America as a waiting list of adoption eligible foster children. It's a big dream. It's a dream that we're a long way away from realizing, but that is something that God has laid on our hearts. And so anytime we hear about someone like today's two guests, someone who's working towards that same goal, someone who is willing to find creative ways to use their skills and to use their abilities to make an impact toward that goal, when we come across those kinds of people, it just thrills our heart, and we want to amplify their voices, their work, and point people to join them, to be inspired to join them. So I'm excited that we have two such guests with us today. They are Casey Stanley and Naomi Turlow of the Real Hope Project. Real is R-E-E-L, like the movie Real, the Real Hope Project. And you guys, you are just going to absolutely love these two. They are a ton of fun. And you're going to love the mission of Real Hope as well. So I think at the end of the day, I think at the end of this hour, you are going to be inspired to think creatively about how you are uniquely gifted to impact this mission in some way. So I'm excited to have that conversation in just a moment here. But first, a real quick announcement for you. You can actually listen to Faith Radio live or on demand wherever you go. All you've got to do is download the free Faith Radio app. It's in your app store today. Folks, I've got this app, and it's a great way to listen live, for sure. It's also a great way to catch up on shows that you may have missed. So I tend to listen on my commute. The app helps me to catch up at the end of the day on whatever I missed out on. So I want you to check that out. I want you to download the Faith Radio app today and listen wherever you go. Okay, let me tell you about my guest and a little bit about who they are. And then we're going to jump right in. We're going to hear about their work directly from them. My guests today are Casey Stanley and Naomi Turlow of the Real Hope Project. It's therealhopeproject.org. Casey Stanley is the executive director and founder of the Real Hope Project. Casey and her husband Pete have been working since 2016 to change the narrative around foster adoption. I love that. We're going to talk about that. And then in 2019, they adopted their son from foster care. Casey leads the Real Hope team in pursuit of the organization's mission, which is a forever family for every child. I absolutely love that, a forever family for every child. Naomi Turlow is the Midwest Shoot Lead and Community Engagement Manager at Real Hope. She has a master's in social work and extensive experience in community outreach, development, and working with diverse communities. She leads the majority of the organization's video shoots, so we're going to ask her about that. And she also supports statewide community and church engagement efforts. Casey and Naomi, I am so thrilled that you're here today. I love your work. I'm eager to jump into that conversation. But this will be the one time today where I'm going to invite you both to just go ahead and speak together. After that, I'm going to try to go to you one at a time for clarity's sake. But for now, to both of you, welcome to Suzy Larson Live.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Pumped to be here.
That's awesome. They're in studio together. I'm a little jealous. I wish I could be right there with them. But I'm excited to have this conversation. I'm glad you're both here. And, you know, I have heard you all share this before. You were on with Bill Arnold in the afternoons, and people should check out that interview. But I'm really eager to have Suzy's listeners to get to hear about the work that you do. But before we get to that, we start every show here at Suzy Larson Live with my very favorite question of the whole show. And it just makes it very personal. I want to ask what God has been saying to each of you lately, you know, either through his word or through your time with him. So let me go to Casey on this first. Casey, what's been standing out to you lately? What's God been saying to you in your time with him these days?
Yeah, I had a really cool quiet time just this morning. I have a teenager and a toddler and an infant, so quiet time is like a hard won battle. And just had some really good quiet time this morning where I was just processing with Jesus, like some of the dreams that are in my heart. And, so many things that I am waiting for and wishing for and hoping for, and just felt like what the Holy Spirit sort of put on my heart was, you won't know all the seeds that I've placed in you until it's time for them to bloom, until it's time for them to sprout. And so that was just cool. I wrote that in my journal. I was like, okay, just trusting, that as like God has done really beautiful things in my life, but trusting that there's more to come. And so, yeah, that was some good time with Jesus this morning.
That is absolutely beautiful. You know, we have a teenager as well. We have some preteens as well. And then, we foster newborns. So I can totally relate to you that sort of environment. It's like quiet time with God. How about we just go with time with God?
Yeah.
It works a lot better. But, Naomi, how about you? And maybe before I throw it to you, I'll just say this. This is one of the things I love about a relationship with Jesus is it's really a personal thing, right? Mm-hmm. God takes us through different things at different times. And I think it's healthy for us to hear from each other the different things that God is saying to us. So what would you say to that? What has God been speaking to you lately?
Yeah, actually, it's interesting what Casey said, because I know this is kind of cliche, but I just feel like God's been so clearly being like, Naomi, trust me with your life. Even when we don't see the greater outcome, even when we don't know what's coming or what God has for us, we can trust him because he's a good father. He loves us. And that he shows that to us in due time. Mm-hmm. And so, I've really been in the Psalms a lot, which, you know, just that idea that we can genuinely and authentically cry out to God in the hardest moments. And even, you know, David was being persecuted. He was being persecuted by Saul, and he cried out genuinely and authentically to God. Why? But at the end of the day, he still praised God for his goodness and his glory. And that was seen through his life. And so, I don't know, that's just been really on my heart is, okay, God, I'm trusting you with your timing, with everything you have and where you're leading me.
That's so good. I appreciate that. You know, you use the words trust me, and that's a command and an invitation really that God's been offering to me too. But one of the things that I've found with that is in order to really trust him, you have to demonstrate that by letting go, right? He has to have control. And at least for me, that can be the hardest part of that. I do want to trust him, but I also want to keep my hands on the reins.
Right.
So, it just usually can't be both at once, but that's great. I appreciate you sharing that. I love getting a glimpse into what God is saying to his people. And so I love the fact that Suzy starts her show with that. It's always my favorite part of the show. But Casey, as a follow on to that, you know, Thanksgiving is just around the corner. It's a little bit hard for me to believe, but it's true. And I think it gives us a perfect opportunity to consider all the things that we are grateful for, certainly starting with God's goodness to us. But I'm just wondering, what is it that maybe you're particularly thankful for these days?
Oh, I have a big one. This is going to sound trite, but it is seriously a big deal. My teenager got his driver's license two days ago. Yes. And he plays sports, and his school is kind of far from us. And so it just is like, it's like a game changer for our family that he is going to be able to drive himself now. He drove himself yesterday for the first time. So I am thankful for that.
Yes.
Okay. Now, I totally get this, but I can't just let that go without following up. Are you sure that your gratitude for that and the ease of schedule, does it more than offset for the worry that you'll have when he's behind the wheel and you're at home?
I know. He drove away yesterday on Wednesday. He got his license on Wednesday morning. He had youth group on Wednesday night, and so he drove himself to youth group. That was the first place that he went, and I was so excited for him to drive himself, and then I stood in the driveway with our toddler waving as he left, and my stomach just dropped. I was like, oh no, what have we done?
Oh man, I bet there wasn't a whole lot of relaxing going on when he was gone. You know, our oldest is 14, so I'm gonna give you a call in about a year and a half and ask for advice on that next phase.
Deal. That's so good. Deal.
Naomi, what about you? What are you thanking God for these days?
Yes, I am thanking God for just the amazing and genuine, deep relationships I have that surround me in my life. I am part of a life group through my church, and there's these women that just walk alongside me through the hard times, through the good times, celebrating each other, praying with each other, growing deeper in our walk with God. It's just such a blessing, and I'm so thankful for them.
That's so good. So appreciate that. Mm-hmm. We're gonna take a break right here. After the break, we're going to talk about the main topic that we're here for, the Real Hope Project. I'm Than Bennett, sitting in for Susie today. My guests are Casey Stanley and Naomi Turlow. They're both with the Real Hope Project. Folks, you're going to want to stick with us through this break. This is an organization you're going to want to know more about. You're going to want to hear about what they can do. You're going to want to check out their work. And then ultimately, I think they're going to inspire you to find a way to impact this work yourself, whether it's through the Real Hope Project or whether it's through another avenue. It's caring for the fatherless. This is a work that all of us have a part of. Again, Than Bennett sitting in for Susie. I'm with Casey Stanley and Naomi Turlow of the Real Hope Project, and we will be back with more on Susie Larson Live right after this.
We are a listener-supported ministry, and if you've never supported Faith Radio but you feel like you benefit from the ministry, would you consider being part of the giving family? You can give safely and securely online at myfaithradio.com. And if you're already giving, I just want to say a special thank you, because we absolutely couldn't do this without you, and we wouldn't want to. I want every one of you, though, be a radio missionary. If you're ministered to by the content that you hear day in and day out on Faith Radio, tell your friends about us and share us with a friend. Either way, let's spread the good news together. Thanks so much for being part of our Faith Radio family. You got plans for me. You got plans for me. Greater than my wildest dreams. Stronger than the
God's got plans for you. He's got plans for me. I'm Than Bennett, sitting in for Susie today. I'm joined by Casey Stanley and Naomi Turlow of the Real Hope Project. Folks, you're going to want to stay tuned for this whole conversation. This is now one of my favorite organizations on the planet. I want to give them a chance to talk about what they do. We're going to jump right into this. Let's start with you, Casey. Let's talk about this amazing organization that you founded called the Real Hope Project. I told you this before we went on air, but I just think this is such a great example of God's people applying their specific skills and their specific passions to a kingdom mission. So I absolutely love it. Kudos to you for it. But I'm hoping maybe before we talk about Real Hope specifically, I'm hoping maybe you can sort of orient our listeners to the backstory. And let's start with you personally. Maybe give us a look into your background and your personal connection to foster adoptions. How is it that you came to be inclined to this space?
Yeah, I think that adoption was something that was always on my heart ever since I was a little kid. Just really felt like that was something that God had called me to. And I'm not sure why. I was surrounded by a lot of my very favorite people were adopted people. My best friend in elementary school was adopted. My youth pastors adopted their little girl who I babysat growing up. Like, I just had a lot of my very favorite people were adopted. So there was definitely a thread throughout my life. But then really when I became I was a youth pastor right after college. I worked at an amazing church for about 8 years and really began to see that, First of all, the church has a beautiful heart for adoption and a beautiful heart for vulnerable kids. And we send missions trips to orphanages overseas, and we do compassion child sponsorship programs. We do all kinds of really beautiful things, and could just see, like, the church cares about these kids. It's not that we don't care. It's just that when we think of the orphan and the widow, we think international and we think babies, and we just don't always think, oh, the kid who goes to my kids' school needs a family. So that was something that I was noticing. And then at the same time, really began to see that in our student ministry at our church, we had a pretty thriving student ministry. It was going really well. The church was doing well. We were in an affluent community. And I just saw over and over again, man, our schools can be the best schools, and our churches can have the best programs, and our governments can have the best safety nets. And none of that holds a candle to kids having families. The kids who have solid families thrive, and the kids who don't, don't. And so just saw over and over and over again that the most important, the two most powerful forces on the planet are Jesus and family. And just so started dreaming from then about, like, okay, so then how do we help to change the narrative around adoption from foster care, especially within the faith community?
You know, I just love how God uses our personal journeys to inspire the work that he's calling us to, right? My wife and I have certainly found the same thing. As we have gotten ourselves invested in the work, our eyes have been open to aspects of this that we really just never knew before. It wasn't that our hearts weren't inclined to it. It is that we literally overlooked it. You talked about how adoptions, we think overseas, or we think certain things. And, you know, here domestically, I want to talk about this in a little bit greater depth, but I want to come back to what you talked about. There's an age group here domestically that does get overlooked. So, but before we get to that, let me follow up with you on Real Hope specifically, and then we'll bring Naomi into the conversation. But tell us a little bit about Real Hope then. What was it that inspired you to start the organization, and what is it that you do? So what's your overarching mission, and then how do you go about trying to achieve that?
Yes. So our mission is a forever family for every child. And our vision is really to mobilize the church to adopt kids out of foster care, to bring kids in foster care into forever families. And so what we do is we make videos of kids in foster care who are waiting to be adopted. And then we bring those videos to churches every Sunday and different events throughout the week, and try to find forever families for every kid. And so we really got started when I was still a youth pastor. I went to a conference in Denver, Colorado, and there were speakers at this conference on all kinds of different topics, but one little, like, 8-minute, like, TED Talk style was by an organization in Colorado called America's Kids Belong. They're amazing. Check them out. And there were all kinds of cool things that they were doing, and all kinds of legislative changes in Colorado. But one little slice of what they started doing was videos of kids in foster care. And I remember sitting at this conference, and it felt like my bones were on fire. I was like, we could do this. Like, this could work. And started looking at what. So we're not the first. Minnesota is where we're based out of, and we're not the first state that started doing this. But we are the first to kind of do it in the way that we do it, and to kind of focus on it pretty exclusively. And so saw that this had kind of popped up around the country, and we were like, we could do this, and reached out to my friend Dan, who I'd known since college. He was the videographer at my wedding and knew that Dan was a great videographer, and also knew that he is really great with kids, and especially with special needs kids, which is a big issue in the system. So called Dan and said, hey, would you volunteer to make some videos for us? And he said yes. And then we were able to get rolling. And now Dan has been on staff for 6 years.
That is so great. You know, one of the things that we say a lot, we use the hashtag same team, right? This is a huge work, this goal to put every foster kid who's eligible for adoption into a forever family. And it's going to take all of us, and we're going to have to identify unique slices, right? So I love it that you saw another organization that had a unique portion of this, and you thought, I'm going to amplify them, but I'm also going to do my own thing. I think that's really the biggest takeaway that I want people to have from this whole conversation, is this is going to look a little bit different for everybody, but there is a slice of this that belongs to each person listening. And so I really just want people to start thinking through it with that lens in mind. But Casey, as you stepped out and you started this effort, God really did surround you with, at least from where I sit, and I look at the team on your website, with a pretty robust team of like-minded people, one of whom is Naomi Turlau. Naomi, you, you play a very central role in bringing the vision that Casey was talking about to reality. So tell us what you do. Tell us how you came to Real Hope, yes. And then tell us your role in this.
Okay. So yes, I came to Real Hope. I wasn't necessarily looking for it. It kind of was, it's by God's grace. It dropped into my lap. We have another staff who is a personal friend of mine, and she introduced me, and they were looking for a lead videographer, or not a lead videographer, a lead shoot lead at the time to work with the kids. And as she described what that role was of traveling around the state of Minnesota, getting to meet these kids, helping them to feel comfortable in their space, bringing out their personalities and characteristics, that sparked a chord with me. I was like, yeah, I could do that. And that sounds amazing. And so I get to do that almost every week. I get to just this week we've done two, where we got to go and meet these amazing kids. And, I get the joy of not only meeting them, but planning a really fun, specific event that correlates with their likes and their desires. Because at the end of the day, we really want their personalities to be highlighted and to be brought out. And so we are intentional about that.
And yeah, I just need if I can just add to that, when we first started, I led every video shoot for like 3 or 4 years. I led 150 something video shoots. And that was the piece that I was most afraid to give away. Because it's tricky. These kids have been through a lot of things and there's a lot of trauma around family, and we're asking them about something really personal and emotional with a video camera in their face. Like, it's tricky. And so you just need to handle it so cautiously. So it was like really hard to find the right fit to be our shoot lead. And I actually met Naomi because I was trying to get her to be on our board of directors, and she turned me down. She said no. But I still just felt like there's something about that girl. I feel like she could do this. And so when we had this position open, reached out to her, and she is just killing it every shoot. It's so fun to see like the B roll that doesn't even make it in the official reel of Naomi just like goofing around with kids and making them laugh. It's so fun.
So you're telling me she tried to get off the hook and you tracked her down. You made
pretty
sure
much, pretty
she
much.
Wasn't going to
come. Yeah. I will not be denied.
I fear for my life.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Hey, listen, we've only got a couple minutes before we got to take a break, but I want to follow up, and either one of you can take this. So maybe just sort of verbally or you know, visually decide who wants to respond to this. But part of what I love about what you guys are doing is the fact that it's so directly responsive to so many biblical mandates, right? It's defending the defenseless. It's being a voice for the voiceless, caring for the fatherless, on down the line it goes. But speak to the impact that you have seen it have. I mean, you know, I think it can probably be hard to measure whether or not having a video increases the pace of being matched, mm-hmm. or maybe the likelihood, or maybe it helps strengthen the quality of the match. I'm not quite sure on that, but, you know, do you see internal benefits for the child? And if you do, what are those benefits?
Absolutely. I think we could name a lot. We know just statistically that teenagers in general only have about a 25% chance of being adopted out of foster care once their parental rights are terminated. And we've seen that having a reel for those teenagers doubles that likelihood of them being adopted. So even just like stats and data wise, we can see that it's making an impact. On top of that, though, we get to see all this really beautiful. Yes, like you said, sometimes their match with the family is even stronger because that family has a fuller picture of who they are. And we also, when you're adopting from foster care, you often hear the really hard stuff about kids first. And so this helps to also highlight, yep, hard stuff is real, but here's some really beautiful pieces of who this kid is as well. And that's powerful for these kids to see.
So great. Hard stuff is real, but there's still such a real invitation for us to be involved in this space. I'm Than Bennett, sitting in for Susie today. My guests are Casey Stanley and Naomi Turlough of the Real Hope Project. After this, we're actually going to talk about some of those highs and lows and how to navigate those. So we will be back with more with Casey Stanley and Naomi Turlough on Susie Larson Live. Welcome back to Susie Larson Live. I'm Than Bennett, sitting in for Susie today. So glad to be with you. I'm joined by Casey Stanley and Naomi Turlough. And I actually want to pause here. I've been saying Naomi, your last name wrong for, I think, pretty much the entire show.
So it's okay.
Turlau. Turlau.
Turlau.
Yeah, okay.
It's Dutch.
Okay.
It's been my whole life. It's okay. Don't worry.
I'm gonna try to catch up. So by the end of the show, I've said it correctly more than I've said it incorrectly. We'll see. No promises. No promises. Look, speaking about that though, speaking of, sometimes getting it right, sometimes getting it wrong, that actually is, directly applicable to the work we're talking about today. There are just highs and lows of working in the foster care system. It's something that is inescapable. I mean, working in the foster care system, it's incredibly rewarding, but it's certainly challenging as well. And I'm sure that there have been moments that have broken your heart. You know, my wife and I have this conversation a lot, and we have it with other people. We never want to tell people that work in this space isn't hard, because it mm-hmm. definitely is. But we also want to be so very careful to not let that keep us from inviting people into the amazing beauty and blessing that is wrapped up in this work. And I can only imagine that as you go filming these children, that you have an abundance of stories and examples of those blessings. So I'm hoping maybe you can just start this segment by sharing one or two of those moments with us. What's maybe a favorite moment from filming?
Yes, I've been thinking about this. So just this summer, we actually had a youth. And so, again, we really try to make these shoots special for the kids. We really want to be intentional and really highlight them for who they are. And so we had a youth that loved fishing. And so we took him to a local lake, and we encouraged him to bring his fishing gear, his fishing stuff. And so he showed up, and what he didn't know is that we were going to surprise him with a brand new fishing pole. And so while his back was turned, I came up behind him and he turned around, and you could just see his eyes light up and just how excited he was. And his social worker had put fresh line on the pole that morning, and he just looked at it and he goes, "Wow, fresh line. Let's go." He just kept saying, he's like, "Let's go." But what was really neat was after that, he looked at both Dan and myself and was like, "Thank you guys so much. Can I give you guys a hug?" And we're like, "Sure, buddy. Yeah. And so we just gave him a quick side hug. And then Dan took him to go take some more footage. And I just stepped aside with the social worker, and I was just asking her, "How do you feel like it's going?" And she looks at me and she goes, "This particular youth does not hug people. He only Wow. hugs people that he truly trusts." And that was just such a moment. First of all, I just thanked God, right? The grace of God in this and everything. But just again shows how important it is to really see these kids and for them to feel celebrated and seen. And again, we get to spend a couple hours with them, but just on a bigger scale, how important it is that these kids receive that, mm-hmm. Throughout the rest of their life. And so it just, highlights the ministry, but also God and how good he is and working with these kids.
It's so beautiful. And I think the thing that I love the most about it is something that we talk about a lot. It's very easy for this to become about statistics, right? And there mm-hmm. are lots of overwhelming statistics. Each one of these numbers is a name. Mm-hmm. It's a name with a story, with interest, with a background, with particular strengths and weaknesses. And that is what I think is so special about what you all do, is it changes that statistic, that number, into a face, into a story, and a story that can be told to a prospective family. So I love that. Casey, I'm going to come to you in just a minute, but Naomi, I just want to follow up with you on that for just a moment. You kind of alluded to this, but how do you go about preparing for that shoot? How do you find out that he likes fishing?
Yes.
And then how do you make him at ease when you get there? How does that work?
Yes. So we work very closely with all the social workers of these kids, right? So we're in contact with them prior, just asking questions. Okay, who is this kid? What do they like? What do they don't like? What are triggers? What are some things we should avoid? You know, we really want this kid to feel comfortable in the moment. And then when we show up, again, we are people of joy. So we bring that joy to every shoot we come to. You know, we are just smiling and ready, and I'm a goofball. And so what I find is when I just act myself and act goofy, that gives kids the right to act themselves. And so right away, that you could just see the nervousness, the fears kind of dissipate. And, you know, obviously every kid is different. Some come in really nervous, some are more excited, but right away I just start to dispel fears when I see them. I'm like, "Oh, dude, this is going to be so fun. Don't worry about it. Like, we're just going to ask all about you. There are no wrong answers. You know, if you mess up, our videographer is going to cut that out and we can just do it again, you know, just dispelling fears right away. And then we start asking really easy, fun questions like, okay, like if you could have any superpower, what would it be? You know, or if you had $1 million and you had to spend it in one day, what would you spend it on? And so as kids start to realize, oh, this isn't a big deal. This is fun. Like these are fun questions. You can just see the fear dissipate if there's any nervousness. Mm-hmm. And then that allows us to ask some more deeper questions, you know, just, okay, what do you think of when you think of family? What do you think of when you think of adoption? And the real raw answers that come from are just really amazing. And so, yeah, we just really try to set up a scene for these kids that's just no pressure, and it really works. They really, it's my favorite thing is to see them open up and just come alive.
So let me see if I can translate here. It sounds to me like if you have goofball on your resume as one of your criteria, you belong as shoot lead, not board member. So.
Exactly. Yes. Okay, goofball energy is in her top strength.
Well, I'm glad you guys have identified the strengths and are using them appropriately. So, Casey, let me ask you about this, though. I want to shift to application here in just a moment. But before we do that, let me ask you about where you see God taking the organization. I don't even want to say what's next, because I really want people to focus on what's in their hand, what's current, what's now and ahead for you. What do you think God's calling you to in the days ahead?
Yeah, I feel like we're in a really exciting time as an organization. We've been around now for 6 years. We've made reels for over 300 kids across the state of Minnesota, and we recently have just really felt like God has calling us to two things. We call it going deeper and going wider. So going wider, that's pretty simple. It looks like expanding into other states that don't have a program similar to ours. And so we already launched a team in the state of Wyoming, actually. And then just last week, we officially got the green light to start working in Wisconsin.
Wow.
And so super, super fun, expansion just in going wider and trying to get to more kids. Going deeper in the state of Minnesota for us looks like if we're serious about this mission of a forever family for every child, then one of the best things we can do is to help ensure that fewer kids end up in a place where they need to be adopted in the first place. And so we've started swimming upstream in Minnesota and trying to film videos about to encourage families, okay, maybe you can't adopt, but maybe you can do foster care. Maybe you can be a temporary place of healing for kids who are in some really hard, scary circumstances. Maybe you can't foster, but maybe you can support a birth mom in crisis, whose kids are right on the edge of going into the system. But if she had a friend and a little bit more support, then maybe those kids would never float downstream and would never need a reel down the road. And so we've started filming stories about prevention, filming stories about foster care, filming stories about wraparound care, families who are supporting families who are doing foster care and adoption, and really trying to kind of swim upstream in Minnesota. So that's what going deeper looks like for us.
That is so great. I want to follow up on that, actually. We'll pivot to application in just a minute here. But this is something that has been such a big burden on my wife and I's heart as well, is being an advocate for biological families who are on the brink. And there is this fork in the road, this crossroads where their children may or may not be with them for the future. They may be taken away from them. You know, my understanding, correct me if I'm wrong on this, but I think you only make videos for kids whose biological rights have been terminated. Is that right?
Yeah, we only make reels for kids whose parental rights have been terminated. And now we've started filming stories of families that are kind of doing the prevention side of things.
That's so great. You know, we're also working to fund the adoptions of those same children. So the ones whose rights have been terminated. But as we've done that, we've noticed a couple of things. First of all, the babies that we've cared for, often the most significant hero, I would say every time, the most significant hero in that story is the biological mom who has made a choice to carry that child for 9 months to give him or her life. And so we always want to honor that sacrifice. We want to honor that service. But I also want to say this very clearly and very publicly, and maybe invite each of you to give a word on this if you'd like. I think one of the most important works that any of us can do in this space is coming along biological families. Mm-hmm. And there's going to be a lot of circumstances. There's going to be a lot of challenges. But, you know, ultimately, the ideal in every situation would be if there could be restoration to the point where that family could either stay together or be reunited. It won't happen in every case, but maybe say a word, if you would, about being for biological families and just doing whatever we can to make them a recipient of our service as well. They're one of our target audiences, aren't they?
Yeah, they really are. And I think one of the things that, at least in the sort of the foolishness of my youth, I think when I was a kid and knew that I was called to adoption, I came at it with a little bit of a like hero perspective, like save the kids and get them out of these broken families and just all, you know, I think my intentions were good for the kids, but all about the kids and really no compassion for the parents or the families. And God has really like worked on that in my heart. That really is the goal of foster care in Minnesota, is reunification with biological parents. And I'll just say personally, when we were adopting our son, we met him through Real Hope, and we had met a ton of kids through Real Hope, and I fell in love with every kid on their video shoot. But with our son, one of the things that I really noticed was different in my heart when we were kind of starting the process to adopt him. I felt such a unique kinship with his birth mom. Mm. I just remember praying for her one night before our son had even come home. We were kind of like hoping that things were moving in that direction. And praying for his birth mom, and just felt like God put it on my heart that the things that she has been through, the upbringing that she had, was worlds different than the blessings that I had. And anyway, just felt like such a unique kinship with her, and have been able to share that with my son, to say like, I love your birth mom. Like, she's a hero to me. She made you. Like, I wouldn't have you if it weren't for her. And, that's really been a cool thing in our relationship, that he and I can together continue to cheer her on.
Yeah. That's so great. I mean, there's room in everybody's story for all of those participants, right? And there's more richness and blessing if everyone is honored and has a role in that. So I love that so much. Naomi, do you have anything you wanted to add to that?
I think, yeah, I just agree with that. I also lead our upstream stories, and it's just a very strong theme amongst these families who are taking in kids, just how important it is to engage the birth families if possible. And how important it is even for those kids in their homes to build trust when they know that not only are they being cared for, but that their mom, their dad is also being cared for. Mm-hmm. You know, that is so important to them because it's still their parents, regardless of what has happened in their life.
That's great. We have this weekend, actually, we have what's called a Fall Family Day for the agency that we work with. And so we are looking so forward to coming together. We're going to be interacting with adoptive families. We're going to be interacting with birth families. And, you know, three of the nine that we have cared for actually were restored to their biological families. And I got to tell you, I cannot wait to see those families come together with newly formed families and share a day, a picnic day at the park. How amazing is that going to be?
Wow, so beautiful. Yeah.
So great. Well, listen, we're gonna take a break right here. We will be back after this. I want to talk practical application after the break. We're talking with Casey Stanley and Naomi Turlau of the Real Hope Project. I want you to check them out. It's therealhopeproject.org. I think there's a way you can be a participant in this organization, in this mission, and I know there's a way you can be a participant in this overall work. If you're a follower of Jesus, this is your work too. And after the break, we're going to talk about ways that you can get involved. We're going to try to inspire you to think about ways that you can use your skills and your creativity to impact this mission. I'm Than Bennett, sitting in for Susie today, and we will be back with more right after this.
Grow in your faith as you study God's Word with a free reading plan from Faith Radio. We have easy-to-follow plans with additional resources like downloadable study guides and podcast interviews. It's all available now on the Reading the Bible Together resource page at myfaithradio.com.
Welcome back to Susie Larson Live. Than Bennett sitting in for Susie today, joined by Casey Stanley and Naomi Turlau of the Real Hope Project. I'm going to jump right back in. This hour has flown by. We've only got one segment left, and I want to spend a quality stretch of time here talking about application. How do we get involved in this work? And one of the things that just continues to wow me is a growing realization that God's plans for us, God's plans for all of mankind, they're intended to be carried out through us, through his people. And I'm actually exhilarated by it anew, kind of every time that I think about that. But when Along with that, one of my heart's desires is to really help people connect those mandates with tangible, real world action that they can take, that they can make their own and that they can have ownership over. And so I wanted to ask both of you this, but Casey, maybe I'll start with you. There are so many components of foster care and orphan care in general. There are so many ways to make an impact. And I honestly believe, I've said this before, but I want to say it again, it's an incredible invitation for each of us to be ushered deeper into the very heart of God. This is right in the core of who he is and what he cares about. But what would you say to a listener who wants to find a way to invest in caring for the fatherless, but kind of looks around and is overwhelmed by the magnitude of it? They don't know where to start. What would you say to that person?
Yeah, I would say that for us, we always encourage people to pray about doing one of three things. So we say adopt, swim upstream, or give. So we say number one, adopt. Go on our website, meet some kids, just like see if God stirs anything in your heart. Now, maybe you can't adopt, or maybe you're just not in a like place in life where that would even be doable or be wise right now. And that's okay. Not everybody is called to that. Then pray about swimming upstream. So maybe you can't adopt, but maybe you can do foster care. Maybe you can support a birth mom. Maybe you can support a foster family and bring them groceries every week. Like, there's so many ways that you can be wrapping around foster and adoptive families. And then we say, if you can't adopt and you can't swim upstream, then give to financially support Real Hope, to help us get to more kids and share more stories and find more families. Find an organization that is doing good work and support them financially. There are incredible organizations around the country that are doing beautiful things. So if you can't adopt or swim upstream, then I would say one of the best things that you can do is give. Naomi, do you want to talk about inviting or hosting Real Hope as well?
Oh, yes. Yes. Another huge thing, again, is just giving us a platform to share with these kids. And so I'm constantly reaching out to churches. I'm constantly reaching out to different community groups to get in front of more families, because a lot of times families don't even first even realize that this is out there. And then once they do, it's like, okay, what steps do I take? And Real Hope, I encourage people to reach out to us with questions, because it can be very overwhelming. Our system is broken and crazy. And so if you reach out to us, we really intentionally try to break that down for people. Mm-hmm. So we really try to point them in the right direction, tell them what next steps to take, and really try to take out the complicated parts of it so people can feel good about stepping into this.
Mm-hmm. I love it. So adopt, swim upstream, or give, and maybe also reach out to the Real Hope Project if you want to invite them into your church or your state. You know, when you all were on with Bill, one of you said, and I can't remember which one of you it was, but you said something along the lines of, caring for vulnerable children is a call for every follower of Jesus. Mm-hmm. And I could not agree with that more. It's this very clear command in Scripture. It's repeated a number of times. And I would just say this, this may be on my soapbox a little bit, but the answer to this problem is the church.
Yeah.
It's all of us. And, you know, I'm deeply in love with the church. It has been the answer to this cultural issue when it comes to babies. You know, when a baby is born in America, the church literally lines up around the block to adopt it. And it's wonderful. I mean, look, my wife and I participate in this process. It's a good thing. Yeah. There's nothing but positives about it. But I do think that older children is an area where all of us maybe need to grow a little bit. That's a need that is ours to meet. And I would, again, I mean, I think I said this earlier, but it's not a lecture. It's an invitation. It's exciting. We should be looking for areas to grow in. And in my opinion, this is one of those areas. So what do you think about that?
Yeah, we have a video that we use sometimes called Head for the Hills that talks about the history of the church. And in the days before Jesus, when there was a baby that couldn't be cared for, that the family could take the baby and leave the baby on the hill and walk away. And that baby would be a victim of the elements. And it wasn't until Jesus, it wasn't until the early church, that the church started sending search parties out to the hills to find these babies and bring them home. And that's a part of why the early church was so full of women, because so many baby girls were left on the hillside and then brought home and adopted into these families. And so we like to remind the church, like, this is our call. Since our inception, this has been what we are about. And there are still kids on the hills. They might look a little bit different, but the hills are still there and the kids are still there. And we should be the ones going after them. And one thing that I'm really encouraged by is that we are. 79% of adoptions from foster care are by Christian families. Yeah. The church is doing really beautiful things and I would say leading the charge in this area, but there's still a long way to go. And mm-hmm. so I think that's what we're seeing is kind of a wave that's building, and we want to like keep building it.
Yes.
That's so good. And that video is on your website. Is that where people can find it?
It is, yep, on our About Us page.
Okay, I really encourage people to check that out. I'm going to do that as well. I have not seen that. Look, there are so many more things that I want to ask the two of you about. I really want to encourage people. I don't want to get too late in the broadcast here to take a moment to pray over everyone. So we're going to do that now. But I encourage folks to check out the website, therealhopeproject.org. Again, real is R-E-E-L, mm-hmm. like a movie reel. So check that out after. There was a bunch of stuff that I wanted to get to that I didn't. But I'm grateful to both of you, and I do hope that it's inspired our listeners to, I would say, brainstorm, maybe pray-storm, pray about what,
yeah.
Participation in caring for the fatherless could look like for you. And I want to pray into that. So, Casey, maybe I would ask you to lead us out in this. Would you just pray that our listeners and all of us, really, including the three of us, that our yeah. hearts for the fatherless would grow, and that we would be inspired to find a way to serve ourselves. Can you lead us out in that?
Yeah, I'd love to. Father God, thank you that you are the best dad, that you're the best adoptive dad around, and that you can model for us what this looks like. And so I just pray for every heart, every set of ears that is listening to this today. Holy Spirit, would you just speak to us so clearly on what joyful obedience looks like for us, not responding out of condemnation or guilt or fear or anything other than like what your Holy Spirit speaks to us, yeah. and that we would step forward in joy and in obedience in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. And Father, I would just add to that. I just thank you for the work that the Real Hope Project does. I thank you for Casey. I thank you for Naomi. I thank you for their entire team. God, mm-hmm. I thank you that you have given them a specific task. And I pray for our listeners that you would give each one of them a specific task. Maybe it seems small, maybe it's large, but God, whatever you would have for each one listening, I ask that you would make it very clear to them, draw them into this work, help them to understand this is where your presence goes, where it follows, and where you would have us each participate in. We pray all these things in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Ladies, we don't have too much longer here, but one of the things that I just wanted to get a quick thought on is I would have gotten involved in this work a lot sooner had I realized how specifically God's presence follows this work. Mm-hmm. I knew that intellectually, right? But I didn't realize as much how rich and how deep it is when we step in. So I just think it's an invitation for each of us to find a role, and it's a way that we can know more of the heart of God.
Mm-hmm. Yes, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Well, I appreciate you being with us. One last thing. We've given out the website several times, and it's going to be linked in the show notes, therealhopeproject.org. But is there anything else that you want listeners to know or a way to get in contact with you?
I would say if you go on our website and meet some kids, if you decide that adoption or foster care are something you want to step into, there's a little tab to get started, and we can send you some guides we've put together on, like, here's what it looks like to go through this process through the county versus through a private agency. Here are first steps, just like Naomi said, really trying to break it down simply so that it's as unoverwhelming as possible. So yeah. Check that out, and I think it'll be a helpful resource.
I love that. Definitely encourage you to do that. You know, Romans 8:15 talks about us having this received the spirit of adoption, and therefore we are able to cry, Abba, Father. This is a work that is for all of us. Casey, Naomi, I've loved the conversation. I'm encouraged by the work you do. I'm going to be following the organization, certainly supporting it. Thank you for being here and for sharing with us today.
Thank you so much, Dan, and thank you to the Susie Larson Show for this platform. This is great.
Mm-hmm. We love Susie, and she will, I'm sure, be following you as well. Folks, that's Casey Stanley and Naomi Turlau with the Real Hope Project. I'm so glad you got to hear their story. There's a whole lot more there. I really do encourage you to follow up on their website. But look, this is what being a Jesus follower looks like. He's given all of us some common tasks to go after, and you know, caring for the fatherless is clearly one of them, but he's given us different gifts. He's gifted us uniquely. And so he calls us to different components of that larger work, to components that he's specifically equipped us for. And Casey and Naomi are walking in their giftings towards that goal of connecting foster children with forever families. But you have unique giftings as well. You have giftings that are unique to you. And my encouragement to you as we close the broadcast today is to invite you to take a little bit of an inventory. What is it that you have? What is it that you're gifted in? What is it that you get fulfillment from using that might make an impact for the fatherless? I want you to take a moment today. And if nothing comes to mind, I really want you to ask your Heavenly Father what it might be. I have just a ton of confidence that there is something there. And I hope that each of us would be willing to step forward together in at least one small way today. This is all of our work, and we're going to do it together for the glory of God, or it's not going to get done. So I encourage you, take inventory today and take one step forward. I'm Than Bennett. I've had a blast being with you today. I always look forward to our conversations, and I look forward to being on again with you real soon. In the meantime, I hope you'll join Susie again right here next time on Susie Larson Live. Have a great day.
Thanks for listening to this Susie Larson Live podcast. These conversations are available because of listener support. You can become a supporter today at myfaithradio.com. To avoid missing future editions of the show, you can subscribe to the podcast now at Apple Podcasts or your favorite podcast player. And thanks for sharing this audio link to spread the good news of the gospel and to grow the impact of the show. Thanks for listening to Susie Larson Live.